A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, May 15th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the opposition MDCT says the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC, should start extending its begging bowl to raise the $55 million needed to embark on a biometric voters registration ahead of the 2018 general elections.
It is now very important for ZEC to extend the begging bowl and start looking for the $55 million. The time to do that is now, because 2018 is around the corner. And we would suggest as the MDC that the best organization to fund that kind of exercise is the UNDP.
The chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs calls on government to set up an ad hoc fund to help repatriate women and girls that fall victim to human traffickers.
And what remains now is for the government to set up an ad hoc fund to assist in the repatriation of these girls, who are so many and we don't have the numbers right now.
And a clean energy consultant urges Zimbabwe to use renewable energy as it is the future that will help tackle its power crisis. And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo. The opposition MDCT says the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC, should start extending its begging bowl to raise the $55 million needed to embark on a biometric voters registration ahead of the 2018 general elections. Jonga Kandemiri speaks to MDCT spokesperson Obet Gutu on the issue.
As MDC, we obviously are very concerned that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission has always been underfunded from day one, because as you know, they actually get their money from the vote allocation that comes from the Ministry of Justice. And we know that this government is run on a shoestring budget of $4 billion. And the Ministry of Justice is one of the most underfunded ministries of all the ministries in the ZANU-PF government. So we know that ZEC would not be able to get that money from government. That's point one. Point two, it is now very important for ZEC to extend the begging bowl and start looking for the $55 million. The time to do that is now, because 2018 is around the corner. And we would suggest as the MDC that the best organization to fund that kind of exercise is the UNDP, because the UNDP has helped in other African countries like Tanzania, like Mauritania, and some other such countries. And they actually are an organ or an arm of the United Nations. So we don't want any of these dodgy other, you know, donors who would come from China to say we are donating the equipment or the money. The money has to come from an organization or organizations that all the political parties are happy with.
There are rumors that ZANU-PF has started registering its members using almost the same type of equipment that ZEC requires. Will this infringe the ZEC process in any way?
It will definitely, because already, I would say from the rumors that are circulating, that ZANU-PF is already registering people using a similar process or program from the way ZEC is going to do it. It is actually very suspicious, because already we know that the ZANU-PF party is in the process of issuing electronic cards, and they are using equipment from a certain Chinese company in that process. And from the rumors that we are getting from very, very, very plausible and reliable sources, is that that same company that supplied ZANU-PF with the machines with which they are producing the electronic cards is the same company that ZEC is going to contract to do the biometric voter registration. Already, as the MDC, as the largest and most popular political country in Zimbabwe, we have already raised the red flag. So we are going to be very particular. We would want to know where the equipment is going to come from, Who are the suppliers, from which country, and who is going to operate the equipment?
That was MDCT spokesperson Obet Gutu speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri. Efforts to get comment from ZANU-PF regarding this issue were fruitless. The chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs, Kindness Paraza, has called on government to set up an ad hoc fund to help repatriate women and girls that fall victims to human traffickers. Some women and girls have fallen prey to human traffickers in Kuwait and other Arab states, and a few were repatriated Friday with the assistance of the International Young Women's Christian Association. We hear more from Paraza on the issue.
And what remains now is for the government to set up an ad hoc fund to assist in the repatriation of these girls, who are so many, and we don't have the numbers right now. One of our recommendations, the major recommendation, is that the government, through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, must set up an ad hoc fund to assist in the repatriation of these women, because we understand that there is a huge number of them. I must point out that the speaker, on Monday this week, he had a briefing with the president. He met the president and he briefed him of what is happening to our girls in Kuwait. So the president now is well briefed. He has since appointed a ministerial task force headed by the Home Affairs Minister, Dr. Ignatius Chombo. And this task force includes also the Minister of Public Service and the Minister of Women's Affairs, as well as the Minister of health, and also the security sector to be involved in all this. So we are happy, and what remains now is for the government to set up an ad hoc fund to assist in the repatriation of these girls.
That was the chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs, Kindness Paraza, in Harare. Heal Zimbabwe, a local non-profit, says it welcomes the move by Vice President Pelekezela Mpoko's office to withdraw the National Peace and Reconciliation Bill from Parliament. Jonga Kandemiri speaks to Rashid Mahia of Heal Zimbabwe on the issue.
I would think that was the right thing to do. That the minister did not have an option, because every aspect of the bill that we highlighted in our position in Heal Zimbabwe and many other civil society organizations violated the constitution. And also, secondly, because the ability of Mongolians has the very spirit of reconciliation and national healing that it purported to advocate for and stand for. So we think we welcome that move. But we also want to say that that move should not be an excuse not to bring the relevant and the appropriate law or proposed law to Parliament. It should not be an excuse to delay the processes. Because whilst we are allowed the fact that the government has seen sense and accepted that the bill that they were bringing before Parliament to become law was against the expectations of the people of Zimbabwe and also against the Constitution. But I also expect that we also would expect them to expeditiously bring an alternative law before the Parliament, so that we, an alternative law that captures what people said during the public access meetings, and secondly, what the views that were given to the Commission, to Parliament by various civil society organizations and individuals. So it should not be an excuse not to bring the law or to delay the process. The process has to start.
So can we say that the people took heed of your call to reject the bill, Mr. Maia?
Yes, the people took heed of our call, but we also took heed of the people's view. Our call was actually informed by serious consultations with people that are affected by political violence, people that have been affected by the economic violence that existed the people of Zimbabwe as a result of the economic policies. And the people also expressed a number of issues that they felt needed to be captured by the bill. So the people took heed of our view, but we also took heed of the views of the people and expressed those views to the portfolio committee.
That was Rashid Mahia of Heal Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri. Renewable energy is the future that Zimbabwe must fully embrace to tackle its power crisis. That from a senior engineer and clean energy consultant, Tubelile Moyo. Moyo is among the 60 Mandela Washington Fellows headed for the U.S. next month. He tells reporter Ntungamili Komo that this opportunity is very important to him.
It's quite an exciting opportunity that will enable me to meet up with other like-minded African leaders that want to improve their communities in Africa, especially in the area of providing sustainable and clean energy to their communities.
Why do you care so much about renewable energy? Why is it important?
Renewable energy is actually the future. So far, the energy sources that we've been using are very unclean, and they've had a detrimental effect on our climate. As you can see, you are hearing of weather patterns changing. There are floods in other places. There are droughts in other places. It's because we've been employing energy systems that are not eco-friendly. Renewable energy is offering a viable solution to provide people with energy, but not just energy, but energy that will ensure that the earth continues. Those technologies are sustainable, even into the future.
Out of a scale of 10, how would you say Zimbabwe has done in so far as accepting renewable energy is concerned?
Well, the people on the street are seriously taking up renewable energy, as you can see by the amount of solar panels that you see. Even vendors on the street are now selling solar panels and other clean cook stoves. But what has been letting us down is the government commitment as well as the policy aspect of things. But this is also changing because we've seen the Ministry of Energy trying to come up with what they call the renewable energy and the independent power policy. So as soon as the policies are in place, I can say that we can move maybe from the current 3 out of 10 to maybe 7 or 8 out of 10.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow Tubelile Moyo on the line from Wange with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo. And coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by one of the 60 young Zimbabweans selected for the Mandela Washington Fellowship for 2016. His name is Patrick Miller. Patrick, thank you so very much for joining me.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
And first, of course, congratulations on the selection to be a Mandela Washington Fellow.
Thank you so much, and I really am excited to be a part of it.
Of course, tell me your reaction when you found out that you were going to be one of the 60.
At first, I couldn't believe it. I didn't open the email until a day later. I was only seeing the headline that said congratulations, because I've been trying since 2014, actually. Tried it in 2014 when it started. I didn't make it. 2015, I didn't make it, but I was like, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to try. So after 3 times trying, I eventually made it.
Your bio is very extensive. You know, you're a creative content writer, you're a performing artist, you're a developer. Tell us more about what you do.
You know, I really am passionate about, you know, telling and creating imaginative stories, because growing up, in one of those passions, but it was only until later on in high school when I decided to actually follow my passion for the creative. But it took me 2 years after high school to eventually get into a university that offered a performance degree. It took me 2 years to convince my family to allow me to follow my passion, but I kept on pushing, and it was only after my first play had been accepted into the Harare International Festival of the Arts that a lot of people actually started believing that, yes, maybe this is the right thing for me to do. So in 2010, after I got into Haifa, that's when I then also started university, and I was doing theater arts at the University of Zimbabwe.
Talk about how important it was for you, Patrick, to really follow your passion. You know, you found what you love to do.
I think it was really important and critical to follow my passion, because beyond my passion, I couldn't see myself sitting anywhere else. Even though I knew I could do other things. But during that time, you know, there was a whole lot of commotion going on with the economy and everything. And a lot of people were coming out of jobs. A lot of people were losing passion. But I was like, in the midst of all this chaos, I can't lose that one thing that has driven me for so long.
Now, in 2014, you launched a program, a project, you know, that has been making waves. You've been doing a lot with this. Tell us more about this project, Itemba.
It's a youth-based creative activism initiative. I got a chance to be one of the 12 youth activists who were chosen a program by HIVOS to go get training in South Africa, activist training in South Africa. So they got inspired by the other people that I saw coming from the region and all the work that they were doing. And me, I'd always been passionate about not only telling my story, but telling other people's stories in the hopes of creating or igniting positive change. So I thought, okay, even without much resources, even if I'm just by myself, I can at least start something. So that's how Project Timber came to be. So I began just thinking about how best can I use my skills as an artist to now be more than just an artist, but to now become an artist who has a cause, an artist who has an opinion. So that's how Project Itemba started. I met with some of my other artist friends and I told them this is what I want to do, and we were heading towards the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. And we thought as young artists we could put together a show which showcases some of our talents and also be dealing with the issue of gender-based violence.
Now, of course, in just over a month, you'll be here in the United States. Tell us, where will you be? Do you guys know yet?
Yes, I'll be at Kansas State University doing civic leadership at their Stately School of Leadership. That's where I'm going to be at.
And, of course, just as we wrap up here, Patrick, what's your message to other young Zimbabweans?
My message to them is simply this: tomorrow has already begun. You cannot wait for tomorrow to be a leader, because today started yesterday. So there's no time. You can start wherever you are, and the time is right now.
And with that, Patrick, I want to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
You're most welcome, and thank you for having me at this show, hey?
That was Patrick Miller, 2016 Mandela Washington Fellowship participant, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo, for that inspiring interview. That there was the music of Willem Tite with the Babylon. And now to recap on today's top stories. The chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs calls on government to set up an ad hoc fund to help repatriate women and girls that fall victim to human traffickers. And the opposition MDCT says the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC, should start extending its begging bowl to raise the $55 million needed to embark on a biometric voters registration ahead of the 2018 general elections. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, May 15th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.